Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Mike Trojan, and tonight we're talking about Manual 13, Advanced Macking. And we're going to be joined in a little while by Vanessa Lobo, who is actually here. So I'm going to put her on. Hello? Can you dig it?
Hello?
Yeah. So,
hi.
Yeah. Great. All right. It's good to hear from you again, Vanessa. How's everything going over there at HatingAndMagazine.com?
Fine. Good to hear that you're doing the show again.
Well, yeah, I've been away for a while. You know, Mike Trojan has many beds that he sleeps in, and Mike Trojan is quite a player.
How many beds? Oh, okay. Got it.
As a, you know, I'm constantly on my back, let's put it like that. Anyway, today we're going through Manual 13. First of all, let's just get this off the table. Did you watch the show? Did you watch what is that show? The Love, Tough Love.
Did I watch Tough Love? I watched bits and pieces of it. Why?
I mean, can you give any update of what's going on there? Like the basics
on Tough Love? No.
Yeah, like somebody...
I'm like not that well versed in it. I don't know.
Okay.
Like
yeah,
off.
Because I mean you remember like last show, it was a while. We talked about this one girl who was flaunting her sexuality. We know about her and we can speak on her. She was very forward and very out there in terms of letting the dude know that she would have sex with him and that she was available.
Right.
And she got kicked off the show, right?
Right.
Because they determined her to be hopeless. And,
yeah, she was like a pathetic cause, pretty much. So
and which is weird because
it
looks like she came to that show, basically, telling herself that she couldn't get a man, right? I mean, she was having a hard time. So
well, she was having like I think they all. Just like have bad traits and attract like not good things.
Say it again.
No, like I think that they just have traits that like attract, or they attract negative men. You know what I'm saying? Like one of them, she just like likes losers. The other one, like, is just way too picky, so that all the men that she like ends up with are just. There's always something wrong with them, you know, in her mind. So
is that the guy? Is that the girl who was like, where the guy was like, "Why are you so old and you don't have a boyfriend?"
No, I don't think so. It's the black girl. But I'm just saying, like, they all have like issues. That's why they're on the show.
And what's the black girl's issue?
She's just really picky, I guess.
She's very picky.
Right.
And what about? And so there's one that's very sexual, like over sexualized. And then there's also one that is kind of like, well, the one that sort of like found, you know, they found a guy, but then the guy started questioning her over and over again. Like, what happened there?
I don't know.
Okay, because there was, remember when there was this girl, she met this guy, and this guy started asking her, like, kind of like in an accusatory tone of, you know, you're such a great girl. You know, you're pretty, you're smart. Like, what's the catch? Like, why aren't you with somebody right now? Like, what's, you know, what do I not know that I should know that would explain the fact that you're single?
Right.
And she just he just kept she just he just kept grilling her, and she came back from the date like screaming, and
Yeah,
she was.
she was like pissed.
Yeah, and she was so upset, and it was like she hated him, and then he basically, you know, talked to the host or whatever, and then he indicated that he really liked her, you know.
Right.
Now, and then she really liked him.
What
And
are
I
you
mean,
asking?
what?
Are you asking if she did, or are you saying she did?
No, she did. Now they're like the best chance of have being a real couple on that show.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's interesting just as a dynamic in terms of why she did that. You know, what was it already that she already was attracted to him? That's why she was so upset when he acted that way, because she thought she liked him,
So I don't
and
know.
then
Isn't that where you come in to explain
well,
that?
his reasoning is essentially that that, you know, you something's wrong with you, so I'm gonna like try to bring it out in you. I just didn't understand what he tried to tell her that like he really just couldn't believe it, and so he just kept asking her, and he meant it as a compliment or something. I don't know what
Right.
his what he was trying to say there, but it was pretty rude if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it was very rude, and like you should have just realized that she wasn't feeling it and just stopped asking. But
yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as a guy, you really need to, like, that's why I always notice somebody has like an attitude, you know, like some girls have attitudes sometimes, like it's just like you can feel it, you know, and like once you start to feel it, like you gotta stop doing, you know, or apologize for what you did do that caused it. But that's that. So that's that show.
like a veiled attempt at something by any chance?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what you
Just
should
in
do. I mean,
general, that's like what guys like should just adhere to that rule.
oh yes. I mean, you should pay attention to the dude, then find out what you did that caused the dude, and then say you're sorry to try to get the two down, and if the two doesn't go down after a little while, after saying you're sorry like a million times, then it's permanent, and you better leave.
Oh, God.
Anyway, you know, the dude attitude, but it's good. I mean, it just all they're trying to tell you is that like you're an asshole. So
Pretty much.
I
But I think one has to be able to like accept that they're an asshole and like and just deal with the fact that they're an asshole. Like leaving, it just proves that you're actually a true asshole. It just like validates that belief of your assholishness.
Well, far be it from me to disabuse you of your notion, you know. If you think I'm an asshole, then I might as well become one, so you're right, you know, so
So then why even apologize to begin with?
you're not
Like,
giving me a toot for nothing. No,
but if the initial reason for you apologizing is because you want the dude to go away, that means
I'm
that you
only
want to
kidding. I'm
dispel the
only kidding
notion
about.
out.
I was only kidding about that. I don't think that you should walk out with somebody has a toot. Like that's a bad tactic, and I don't know, maybe Logan's tried that, but Mike Trojan doesn't do that.
Oh.
No, Mike Trojan is a very powerful being. I don't think you've actually met Mike Trojan.
I want to.
Yeah, Mike Trojan, he is, I am
You're talking about yourself in the third person. Wow, how mighty are you?
Well, yeah. Mike Trojan is a legend in my own mind. So let's go on. Let's read about some of his wisdom, okay? I'm going to read it to you, and you just react to it, okay? So we're going to go on from where we left off. If you haven't gotten laid in over a month and wish to do so, stop masturbating until you do. It will make the difference in those moments of hesitation that cause opportunities to slip through your goddamn fingers. When you are oversatisfied by your own hand, you will more easily talk yourself into inaction when it comes to making the necessary moves. Who once said, "He who hesitates masturbates"? It should be said the other way around. He who masturbates hesitates. Pretty profound stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, what I'm saying there is that, you know, there's a lot of guys who they masturbate pretty much on a daily basis, maybe 2, 3, 4 times a day. And consequently, like, they just don't have the drive to try to pick up a girl. And so they always wonder, like, why am I single? And it's like, because you don't, like, you're satisfied, you know? I mean, you've given yourself all you need, like, 3 or 4 times in that day. So, the best way,
I
like...
I can't really speak on that. I mean, I'm not a guy.
Well, yeah, I know. It's not really something that you can really... But what do you think of it and just reacting to it as a girl?
I mean, how does that play as, like, a guy who masturbates after they're in a relationship? But I feel like the horror manual should be translated, as much as it should be, like, read for guys who aren't in relationships, that doesn't really mean that you 100%, it has to be, like, fixed into your relationship as well.
Oh, well, it is. I mean,
well,
all these
but then,
things...
Okay, so fine. So if that's true, right, if the horror manual is also applicable to guys in relationships, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yes.
Then the guy who masturbates hesitates. Because, or is that how it goes? Or the guy who hesitates masturbates, or whatever. Because if you're in a relationship and you're masturbating 3 or 4 times a day, then you too are hesitant when it comes to approaching your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It works the same way. So then if you're in a relationship, you shouldn't masturbate. That's essentially what you're saying.
I agree. You shouldn't. It's only when you have certain injuries that you might have to. You know, like, but it's only in those extreme circumstances. On the whole, it shouldn't. Should try not to masturbate if you're in a relationship because it will lower your sex drive and then you won't have as much sex with your significant
right.
other. Now, I don't know if that's true about women. I think women...
I don't know. I don't masturbate.
They can have multiple orgasms, so, you know, they could probably do it themselves all day long and then still be up for some log jamming. But... anyway, let's go on to the next principle. One of the first errors a guy makes when approaching a new girl is that he builds her up in his head, thinking of her as some kind of great prize. This attitude gives off the vibe that she is of greater value than you are, and you will quickly see her respond to this vibe you are emitting by disrespecting you. The correct attitude to have in an approach is that you are giving her the opportunity of a lifetime. That is to say, if she fails to be attracted to you, the loss to you is small, but the loss to her is huge. Why is it so huge for her? Well, because you're a cool dude, and the ratio of cool dudes to hot girls, and this is a scientific fact, is about 100 to 1.
Hmm.
And this is the evil truth that hot chicks don't want you to know. But you're a hot chick, so you don't want to know this. And this and I'll tell you what it is. It's that it's 100 to 1 ratio. Sorry, girls. There's 100 of you, and there's only to 100 of you, there's one of us. And yes,
so?
Mike Trojan is one of them, but. What?
So?
So that means that you're a dime a dozen and I'm one of a kind. Thanks.
Not necessarily. necessarily, because you're not needed. I mean, there's a whole trend of, like, women who, because the thing is, I was reading this in, like, Oprah's magazine today while I was at work, because that's what I do, apparently, reado.com, but that women are now looking to other women for relationships, not necessarily because they're lesbian, but because...
They're no cool dudes.
No, women are attracted, well, maybe that is the case. Women are attracted to personality.
I think it's because they don't like hanging out with these idiots. There's so many
not
idiots.
Gender.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I was saying.
There's so many idiot dudes around, and it's like there's all these goofball dumbasses, and there's like a bunch of hot chicks, and like when you're in a high school, you know, and you're hot, like, and you're a girl, like, you're one of the few hot chicks, but then when you get out into the world, you realize that, like, the ratio of hot chicks to cool dudes is so unbelievable. Like, you'll have to go through millions of, like, lame-ass dudes you're going to have to date to find that one cool guy, and then that one cool guy won't even like you, you know? So it's, like, it's tough. It's tough for women. But anyway, it's good to know that, and, like, what a lot of guys do is they sort of think of this girl as, like, she's a one of a kind, and there's, like, tons of, like, cool dudes around, but there's only, like, to every 100 cool dudes, there's only, like, one hot girl, and, like, that's how guys think of, like,
mm-hmm.
when they see a hot chick, like, that's why they start falling all over themselves and acting like
right.
an idiot, whereas, like, if you know that there's, like, a million other hot chicks where that other hot chick came from, think about how many hot girls there are, and it, just in general. Like, how many hot stars, hot, like, you know, movie star girls? How many, like, actual cool movie star dudes? You know what I'm saying?
Know.
Like, you look at that ratio and it tells you everything.
Right.
You know, there's not that many cool movie star dudes. There's only about, like, you know, but there's...
Can we name them, the cool ones? Who's cool?
Okay, well, Brad Pitt is the top of the list.
Well, yeah.
He's cool. Then you have, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're blanking out. George Clooney, he's cool. You got the guy who's James Bond, he's cool. You got the guy who's...
Wait, which James Bond? Daniel Craig, the new one?
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
Oh, my God, he's hot.
Yeah, he's...
His eyes are just ridiculous. I mean, not like you care.
Yeah, no, but he's hardcore, man. He's intense. He's good. He's, like, a good guy to model your movements on if you want to do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you should look at Brad Pitt. That's another part of the manual, is all about, like, looking at the faces of cool dudes on TV and, like, try to, like, take on their expressions, because you'll start looking better. So, like, you look at Brad Pitt's face and, like, try to assume. Brad Pitt, if you notice, is, like, actually, like, jutting his, like, bottom jaw forward a lot. And he like artificially manipulates his face to look even cooler than it should.
He manipulates his face.
Yeah, he's like pushing his face out. But anyway, let's move on to the next principle. Here we go. Nevertheless, hot women are used to being placed on a pedestal. And while they are quite comfortable there, they are also bored and creeped out by dudes who put them up there through his supplicating behavior. These women have a secret wish to, quote, meet their match, end quote, in the realm of perceived value. In pursuit of that, some even prefer abusive men to overly nice guys. They reason that punks are at least more interesting than good boys. Indeed, it seems that at least some of these women would actually prefer to be mistreated than to be ass-kissed. Of course, all abusive men are really just low-life, insecure fuckers, compensating for their insecurities by acting like brash assholes. But the lesson to be learned from these losers is that a confident front, even a bullshit one, usually wins over a meek one. In terms of women. I mean, so basically,
right.
Like... If a girl will take a confident asshole over a meek nice guy, and it's interesting because it's counterintuitive. Like, you think that the girl would want to be with the meek nice guy, but they get bored. They're just like, oh fuck, this dude's such a wimp, you know? And it's not a turn on to have like this wimpy dude around who's like, okay honey beanie, you know? And so they don't like it, you know? And so anyway, that's something that you have to keep in mind. Like, I'm not saying you should be an asshole. It's just that women are used to, for the most part, most guys that come along are like just worshiping their fucking ass, you know, and being like, oh yeah, okay, all right, yeah. And they're being so supplicating, and then especially like hot girls, like they get that kind of like starry-eyed look, and they start treating you like you're, you know, some kind of, until they have sex with you, and then, you know, whatever, you know. But like that's how guys are. I mean, they're just pretty predictable like that.
I don't know.
But my only point in putting forth this thing is just to tell you that, like, if a girl is happy, you know, if a hot girl prefers an asshole over a meek, weak dude, then that tells you that the person in between those is the proper balance. You know what I'm saying? And so you don't want to be this meek, total dude, but you don't want to be an asshole. You just want to be confident. But the point of it is, what I'm trying to drive home is that the key feature is confidence. And
yeah, but how then do you differentiate confidence between assholishness? Because, you know,
because
some guys...
Well, I think it's pretty... You know when you're being an asshole, you know, and you know when you're being confident. And what I'm trying to say is that a lot of guys, you know, they see other assholes and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to be an asshole too. And that I'm trying to say, like, you shouldn't be an asshole because, like I said, I even quote, of course, all abusive men are really just low-life, insecure fuckers compensating for their insecurities by acting like brash assholes.
Hmm.
So that's true. I mean, so you don't want to be that. So, but the point of it is that women are so attracted to confidence that they will take an asshole over a non-confident nice guy. Okay, so that's just something to keep in mind. Here are the initial steps of a very effective... Oh, this is the married one. We did this.
The what one?
The very effective icebreaker with the
above. Oh, yeah.
Like, keeping the above in mind. So let me just read it. Let me just go through it because it is kind of interesting. The next time you see a girl, get a buying signal. Then do not hesitate. You know, remember we talked about buying signals.
Yeah.
Get a signal. Do not hesitate. Oh, that's another thing. It's the 3-second rule, and I think it's going to come up later, but I might as well just bring it up. The 3-second rule is, if you're like on the prowl and you're a dude, you know, who doesn't have a girlfriend, obviously, I'm not advocating you cheat on your girlfriend or do anything like that, or your wife. I'm advocating that if you're single, okay, the next time you see a girl you like and you get a buying signal, you better talk to her within the next 3 seconds. Because if you get a buying signal and wait longer than that to talk to her, you'll get so nervous and so ridiculous that by the time you go talk to her, like, you'll come off like a fucking psycho. You know, that's what happens. Is like guys will be like, it'll take them like, you know, like an entire train ride to fucking say something to you. You know, after they've like looked you in the eye and kind of caught your eye, and by that time it's so awkward. So it's like, and another thing is like when you're talking to a girl, like suppose you see a girl on the platform of the subway and she's just standing there. Waiting for the train. If you go up and talk to her while she's waiting for the train, she's going to get freaked out. But in this case, the 3-second rule like might not be a good idea. Like when you're in a train situation and you see a girl.
Yeah, trains are just inherently awkward. Like,
well, no, but the best time to talk to a girl is in the transitional stage from going from the platform onto the train because she's in a transition. So she's ready. She's already making a change from platform to Subway so she can go from not talking to talking. But if you're
not necessarily, because when you're going from platform to train, you're trying not to get hit by the people coming out of the train, and you're scoping out a seat. Like, I don't really.
I'm not
think
talking
so.
About rush hour, okay? Rush hour is a little tough. You're not going to get far in rush hour, but we're talking about like sparsely, like, you know, off time in terms of the.
And in New York City, that would be.
There are times where it's not, you know, like on a Sunday. Or
not really.
Well, okay, fine. So anyway, the next time you see a girl you like, get a buying signal. Then do not hesitate. Remember, rejection makes you hotter. How this is explained in later pages. Assume the sexual state. Oh, read on in later pages and learn more about this state and its advantages. Okay, the sexual state. Let me just quickly go over that. When you go into a situation where you're trying to pick up girls, like just in general, you know, on the street or whatever, you need to get yourself into this kind of sense. Like you have to where you have to feel like you're about to have sex. You need to get yourself mentally into it. Like, how are you? Like, you have to basically have, like, a little bit of a hard-on. And you have to be a little bit of a, what do you call it? You have to be a little horny. And you have to, like, muster up some kind of horniness. So, like, maybe, like, think of some sexual thing or whatever and try to muster it up. And get yourself into a sexual state. And that sexual state will basically, like, give you bedroom eyes, will give you a certain tone of your voice, will give you a certain cadence that will instantly evoke the sexual state in any girl that you're talking to.
Mm.
Okay, so if you, like, start to, you know, just think of, like, sex and just, like, think of that you're, you know, this person that you're talking to, like you're about to have sex with them, you'll look
right
at them in a way that like will basically seduce them, because they'll start to get that feeling from you, and it's contagious, and it's like you can just kind of thrust it about. Like girls do it when they're modeling and stuff like that. It's like a way to, I mean, that's how like the hot models, like they probably get a little horny and then they like stare into the camera, you know, and like. No, I'm just saying, like, girls probably do that, guys do it too. But the whole point is, like, when you're in that state, everything falls into place. Like, you don't have to worry about, oh, I got to speak this way or I got to look this way. Like, you will be calm because you're very calm right before you have sex. And so and when you're horny, you know, like, you're calm. You're like, really steady because you're, like, there's one thing on your mind, you know?
Not me. I'm, like, crazy.
No, but I'm not talking about when you're in a crazy sexual state. I'm talking about like a very slight horniness. Okay, so you get into the sexual state, assume the sexual state, and then you walk up to her calmly, hand her your business card, give her a chance to read it, and then I give you, on the site here is a link to where you can order good business cards, and you've seen my business card. You walk up to her calmly, hand her your business card, give her a chance to read it. When she looks up, ask her if she's married. If she says yes, say, okay, have a nice day, and walk. If she says no, ask her if she has a boyfriend. If she says yes, say, okay, have a nice day, and walk. If she says no to both questions, ask her if she likes guys or girls. If she says guys, ask her if she wants to go get a drink right now for like 10 minutes. If she says she can't, then just walk with her a bit and speak to her about basic thing, where she's from, what she does, etc. After about 10 minutes, say goodbye and walk. Walk a few steps, then turn back around and ask for her number. If she says no, then say, have a nice day and walk. If she says yes, get her number and call her that evening. Meet up with her as soon as possible. That's it. Do this over and over, and you will have great success. Any rejection you get out of this procedure will be well worth it and go very far in calibrating your behavior for the next approach. The first couple of times you try it, it will be hard to break through your protective shell of antisocial inertia. But when you do this a couple of times, no matter what response you get, it will soon be almost impossible not to do it effortlessly without hesitation. So basically, it's a procedure that you just go through almost like a robot. And guys need that, you know. Guys need something where it's just like, just follow this and shut up and just do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the whole problem is you see somebody and like, you're like, what do you say? You know, what do you say to this girl that you just see, you know, on the fucking subway? You know, I mean, hey,
right.
Hey, what's up? You know, it's like anything you say is lame. So you might as well just follow that procedure. Somebody, if you do it cool enough and you do it like lighthearted enough, it will work. If you come off like a total psycho and you're, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Right,
you know, like,
right.
So that's, I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think you asked me a lot of questions there.
Of course, because you're,
it's,
you know.
It's like, it bends, like, I get annoyed after a while, no?
Not about relationship questions, because it's a very direct way of asking, like, I'm basically saying, like, do you have a boyfriend? If you do, then I'll leave you alone. It's like a way to let them reject you without them having to reject you, because they're just, they're like, yeah, I have a boyfriend, and it's done, you know?
Hmm.
Even if they don't. They're going to say they do just to get rid of you.
Right.
Instead of her being like, you know what, I think you're ugly, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's basically saying it, but, you know, in a nicer way, so it doesn't affect you as much. But it is, make no mistake, she's rejecting you. I mean, unless she does have a boyfriend, you know. And usually, let's face it, guys, most, you know what I used to do? I was a real evil, like, because Mike Trojan of Young was like, he didn't have any scruples. But I used to go up to the girl, and she'd be like, she'd be like, I have a boyfriend. I wouldn't even ask her. You know, I thought it was a dumb question. You shouldn't ask a girl if she has a boyfriend, because they always have a boyfriend. And this,
of course.
Well, at that time, you know, I was like, you know, they could see me coming from a mile away, so they all even said they did, even, you know, when they didn't. But most girls that are hot have boyfriends. I mean, it's just because why wouldn't they? You know, that's why that guy was on the show was incredible. Incredulous about that other girl, but even though she was not, but let's just say she was cute, but you know, she's all right. She looks like a head case, but
she looked like what?
A head case.
Oh.
But what was I saying? Oh yeah, hot girls always have a boyfriend. So I would, you know, I would be like, she'd be like, I have a boyfriend. I'd be like, so your boyfriend doesn't let you like hang out with other guys, you know? Like, as a friend, you know, or something like that. It's like, hey, man,
right,
I don't know what you're
trying to be a friend.
No, because I would say to her, like, I don't know what you were thinking, but I was just like, I thought we'd just have a drink. Like, I'm not looking for anything, really, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it didn't really work.
I'm sorry.
I know, it was funny. I mean, like, I just want to say a funny story. Like, I was my first, I moved out to San Francisco, or it was my first time out in San Francisco. Like, I was there for the summer between, like, junior and senior year. And I went to the strip club, and this girl, like, started giving me a lap dance. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, you know, you give her, like, $10, and she gives you a lap dance. And I was like, listen, here's $10, but just, like, you can just sit here, and I'll talk to you. You know what I'm saying?
What?
So, yeah, like, I don't need no lap dance. Just sit on my lap. I want to have a conversation. So I started talking and this and that, and I was like, hey, well, you know, why don't we go and, you know, have lunch or something? She's like, I don't go out with customers. And I was like, oh, come on, man. Like, I'll meet you tomorrow. Like, we won't have to leave from here. Like, I'll meet you outside. Like, she's like, all right. She's like, meet me at Nordstrom. And this is a girl, like, she had, like, bleach blonde hair, right? And she was, like, all skinny. She's kind of cute, whatever. But so I go to Nordstrom the next day. And she orders, like, a French dip or something. And I don't know if you know that. It's like a roast beef sandwich that you dip in, like, some meat juice. It's pretty gross.
Sounds foul.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's talking to me, and she's we're going back for the – I mean, I find out that, like, the guy who runs the strip club, like, a total, like – he's this, like, Chinese guy asshole, and he jacks up the price of, you know, because they have to pay to get on the stage. Basically, they have to buy stage time, which is like
$100.
Yeah, that's how it works. But you buy stage time for, like, you know, 15 minutes, and it's like $100. I mean, or I don't know. It's probably not that much. Probably at that time it was like
right. So the money that you get thrown on stage, you pretty much are giving to the owner.
up, you know, if you, you the whole point is that you're supposed, you should try to, you usually do make more than $30, so,
right.
You know, in one and shit like that. So she was just telling me about how that guy's like, you know, he's filthy rich, and you know, he just cheats them out of everything, makes them buy their own drinks, and how she lives in her car, and she's like lives with her boyfriend.
Wow, you know how to pick them, don't you?
And your boyfriend's an asshole. And I was like, oh, your boyfriend? She's like, yeah. And I was like, well, where's your boyfriend right now? And she's like, he's over there. And he points to this dude, like, sitting, like, few tables down, like, in the same Nordstrom. It was like a cafe in Nordstrom. I don't know. Like, they have a little cafe there. And so he's sitting at this table. He looks exactly like Sid Vicious, the punk rocker guy.
Mm-mm.
And he's like this punk rocker dude, and I'm like, oh, well, why don't you have him come over here? You know, I was like, bring him.
You're such a lame-o.
I know. I was like, so I thought it was so cool, and like I have him come over, and he's just kind of looking at me like grilling me, and I'm like, hey man, what's up? And I don't know. It was like an awkward lunch.
Yeah,
and but
it's gonna
pick
you up on the fact
trying,
that she's like, meet me at Nordstrom's. I mean,
she was trying to hustle. She was trying to hustle some shit for some money from me, and I think, like, she was like, well, I'll meet the dude, and you sit over there, and, like, let's see what I can get with him. But then I guess she didn't mind, like, saying that's where he was. Anyway, that was an interesting strippers, they have a bad – they usually have something bad underneath that you don't want to deal with. Anyway, let's go. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next principle. Seduction necessarily incorporates a bit of touching, so you should start touching a girl early on after you've gotten to know her a bit, of course. So it's not a shock, and you do this so it's not a shock when you do touch her. The kind of touching that will be initially acceptable is first the hand. A simple high five for any damn reason is a good way to start it off. Also, putting your arm around a girl's shoulder like she's your kid's sister in a congratulatory way is also usually quite acceptable. As you get to know a woman better, you can ask her where on her body she first feels the spark of attraction. And if it's
oh, my God.
Yeah, and if it's in a sexually neutral area.
Oh, my God.
What?
Someone try this on me.
And if it's in a sexually neutral area, trace it with your finger. That way you are anchoring the sensation of attraction to you. This is a subtle art, so subtlety is king here. Non-threatening erogenous zones include, of course, the hands, but also the wrists, the scalp, the neck, the shoulders, and, very carefully, the thigh. Be careful not to move too soon or too often with this touching stuff, or you'll come off like a creep. But done correctly, you can accelerate your progress. But anyway, go on. That's interesting. You've had this done.
Yeah, but now I just, like, totally lost it, so, because I was listening.
No, but tell me, what happened?
I don't even now remember. I just remember that happening.
Interesting.
It just sounded familiar.
Somebody asked you where on your body you feel attracted?
Yeah.
And where was that? Where is it?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. I mean, so basically, you'll notice that, like, a true player, like, Roberto is an old player. Like, he's you know, he just goes for whatever. But, like, Roberto used to be much more subtle. And, like, he'd just start palling around with the girl, you know, after a while, like, putting his arm around her, hugging her, and before you know it, he's making out with her. So, it was just an interesting tactic, so that's that. So, and I think it's important, just touching, you know, very subtle. The less is more, you know. If you start touching a lot, she'll notice. If you won't.
Well, yeah, she would.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, but at the same time, like, a girl will, like, put her hand on your thigh, and, like, you'll know that, like, that's something, you know. Girls kind of, they do their own touching. But usually you'll know if everything's going okay if, like, you get the same kind of thing back, you know. But she won't even know she's doing it. Okay, so here's the next principle. So you're standing there with the new girl at work or wherever, racking your brain about something to talk about, and you can't think of one goddamn thing to say. She might even seem eager herself and is also stumped for conversational topics. So you get that awkward silence. That's when you drop a cliffhanger about her personality. Say to her, "You know, I've noticed something about you that many people probably haven't." When she asks you what it is, answer by telling her, "I don't know if I should tell you. I really don't know you that well." This will really get her interest going. Let her ask again. Say, "I don't know. I'm not sure if it's my place to say." Play conversationally within this cliffhanger realm for a bit, and then finally tell her, "Well, it seems to me that though you put up a tough exterior, a lot of the time you feel lonely. Your beauty creates a kind of wall around you. It makes other women jealous and makes the men you meet act weird." This should get some kind of discussion going. This is just an example. You can do this kind of cliffhanger technique in any way you want. The point is not, that was an example of the structure.
You will get like a rolled eyes. That's what you would get with that comment, that statement.
Which one?
The whole, like, your beauty is a wall. I mean, what?
Oh, come on.
Say that to a chick that you know, like,
you have to.
No, all of a sudden you do psychoanalysis on her.
No, but you understand the structure is the cliffhanger. So you have to get the girl being like, what? And like, she has to actually like beg you to tell her.
Right. No, that I totally like agree with. But I mean, what you say afterwards got to be a little more like suave
than
that.
I mean, it was, you know, I think that you could, pull that off if you said it cool enough. But I was reading. But you would say something
maybe
like,
"Maybe not all men are as cool as you, Mike."
All right, let me not do it. I did. I think I when I said it and I read it, I sounded like a total dork. So let's just say how like let's do this as a dialogue, okay? So. I'm going to be the guy and you're the girl, okay?
Okay.
Like, you know, I've noticed something about you that many people probably haven't.
You sound like Ralph Burley.
Smooth. Go ahead.
Okay, what? What?
You're going to say, like, what have you, you know, obviously.
Oh, what have you noticed?
I don't know if I should tell you. I really don't know you that well.
Okay, no, just tell me.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's my place to say.
Why not? You started it.
I don't know. I don't think I. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, don't tell me. Whatever.
Okay, fine. Well, it seems to me that you know you. Okay, you put up a tough exterior. But a lot of time you feel lonely.
What?
I mean, I really think your beauty creates like a sort of wall around you, and it makes other women jealous, and it makes the men you act weird.
Is that why you're acting weird?
The men you act weird. That's a great comeback. Is that why you act weird? And my response would be like, maybe. Anyway.
You don't even choke on my chair. That was a good comeback. That was good.
Yeah. So that's how it should go. So try that out. Okay, the next one, because we're running out of time here. The best way to initially foster attraction in a woman is to keep her guessing about where she stands with you. The best way to keep her guessing is to follow up any "I like you" signals with signals that sort of say, "I might not like you." So like,
okay, you're gonna have to like totally elaborate.
Here's
that.
An example. Okay, for example, you might tell a girl, "Hey, I think we have a lot in common, you and I. I think you have a lot in common, you and I." Let that sink in.
We have a lot in condom.
Yeah, in condom. Right. In common.
We have a lot of condoms, you and I.
Yeah,
it's only because I'm staring at a condom right now.
Okay.
Used, of course.
Okay, well, it's not advertising.
What?
Your ad is up on Craigslist already. Okay, so.
Yeah, on the Casual Encounters. Just nobody murder me. That's all.
Hey,
anyway.
You're a hoe.
I know.
I'm just joking. Okay.
Whatever.
Okay, so for example, you might tell a girl, hey, I think we have a lot in common, you and I. I don't know why you would say you and I. I mean, that sounds very formal, but...
you and I.
You know, hey, I think we have a lot in common, you and I. So you let that sink in, and you give her the idea that you're into her. But then after a little while
what is up with you?
Just listen, okay? But then after a little while, say she mentions that she hates country music, you might respond, well, I don't know if I can trust a woman who hates country. What are you, some kind of elitist? And
really?
So basically, you get the idea. Some call this the push-pull technique. And what happens is you pull them toward you and then you push them away. Compliment, then playfully criticize. Make them work for the compliment because doing so makes them value you much more than if you were just being an all-around nice guy all the time. So it's the mixed signal thing. And like it does generate attraction in the initial encounter. If you're just like Mr. Nice Guy through the whole thing, she's going to get bored, I'm telling you. It's you know, it's your trial and error, my friend. You know, Mike Trojan has been through a lot of bad rejections. Okay. Next principle. You should be approaching single, lone women. Trying to approach women in the company of others, her friends or yours, is not advised. This is because women want sex just as much as men, but they are much less willing to demonstrate that desire in the presence of their friends. So what do you think about that? Because that's directly to you.
I think I agree.
Right? I mean, if your friends, like, see you getting picked up by some random dude, it's not going to look too good, right?
Well, it's just, like, awkward for you because, you know, like, you've got... It's one thing to have people you don't know, like, looking at you and the way you're, like, reacting to a guy. And it's another thing to have people that you talk to on a daily basis looking at you while you're interacting with a guy that you don't know, you know what I mean? And it's like, and it's weird because if the guy's cute, then of course, like, a girl's going to be nervous. Girls are nervous, too, no matter how hot they are. And so that they're going to be, like, uber nervous around their girlfriends. And if the guy is, like, not so cute and they're not that into him, like, they don't, you know what I mean? Like, they can't be, like, too rude, but they can't seem, like they're into that guy either. So it's just like, no, it's just not a good thing.
Wait, are you trying to say that, are you saying that, like, you, what are you saying? Are
what?
You saying that?
If you're not listening, what are you doing? That's
no, I was, I, no, what I'm trying to say is that.
Is that why you're hesitating?
funny. I mean, in terms of, are you more hesitant to be rejecting of the guy when there's your friends around? Or, I mean, are you more...
I'm not necessarily more hesitant to be rejecting of the guy.
Actually, you're more encouraged to reject the guy.
Well, you are more encouraged to reject the guy, but, like, you don't want to do it in, like, a too rude manner. I mean, you want to do it rude enough where it's, like, funny to your friend, so it's, like, something that everyone laughs about afterwards. But, I mean, but you don't also want to just be, like, a mean bitch, you know? So it's just, like, it's better to just stay away from a girl if she's around her girlfriend. It's just, you know, like, let that be girl time and just leave it alone.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, too, like, it's bad to have another dude around. If you're like,
what do you mean?
Like, if you're some dude approaching some chick and he's got another dude with him, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's just lame.
That's what I'm saying. So it's better if you're a guy trying to pick up chicks, like, don't be with your friend, your dumbass friend. okay, so let's move on.
Were you always the friend?
No, I always had my... I always had my dumbass friend with me, and they always guy friends always sabotage your shit, and like they're all haters, you know. Like when it comes down to it, they're fucking haters. And Jeff, like there was this one chick that Jeff used to like, and you know, she was cute. She's a very cute chick, but her friend was so fucking ugly and fat. And you know, it's such a shame that like a hot girl like that would hang around with this fat, ugly girl. Not because, like, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't have any prejudice against ugly chicks. I'm just saying that, like...
Fat chicks.
No, I'm not even fat chicks. And my point is that it was a shame because how, you know, her friend could never go on a double date because there would just... I mean, or she would end up on a double date always with some dude who was, like, hating it and then Jeff. And one of those dudes one time was me, you know? But I always was very careful. I was like... And I would always tell Jeff, I was like, there's no way, dude, that we're hanging out, like, me and her and you and her. Like, that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not, that dynamic.
That's so sad.
Right. So I would always make sure there was, like, one more dude there, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But that's how I dealt with it because I was just, you know, I don't know. It just seems odd that there would be, such a hot girl with such an ugly girl, but that you see that a lot. You know, I mean, your friends are hot, but like, you know, and you're hot too, so you don't do that. But you don't hang around with like ugly chicks.
No, but not for any reason. I just don't know any.
Yeah,
and, like,
right.
Super ugly.
But anyway, so. But explain briefly though, where you feel most comfortable being approached by a guy.
I don't.
No, but when you're single, and why?
What is Oprah? Like, I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that question. I can't say that there's a place that I feel comfortable being approached by a guy. I mean, there's so many factors and variables that are brought into the mix, you know. It depends on my mood, it depends on, am I feeling cute that day? I mean, some days I'm just not feeling hot, and if a guy were to approach me, I wouldn't appreciate it. So I don't know, it's just, I can't say. I mean, I've always met guys in school, so, you know, I never really ventured outside of that platform to, like, meet guys. And then if I ever did, like, I don't know, was ever approached by a guy, I can't even say. I've been approached at art galleries and, you know, maintained friendships from there, but, like, I can't say. I really don't know how to answer that question because there's so many things that go into...
Actually, art gallery is a good place. I mean, that's a good place to pick up girls. because a lot of dumb chicks. I'm just kidding.
Fuck you. No, I think an art gallery is actually a very nice place to pick up girls because, one, it's an easy conversation starter. The conversation is staring you right in the face. It's the art that you're looking at. You know, come on. How much easier
yeah.
can it get?
My best line is, like, I always go up to the girl, like, when she's looking at it and be like, I have a poster of that at home.
A poster.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that might have worked in high school, but not in your 20s and 30s.
No, but see, don't you... People have to understand, and that's what I'm trying to convey with these lines, is that...
Is that like a joke?
The lines are unimportant. It's the delivery that's so important. If you have any kind of nervousness in you, obviously that line is going to come off, like, ridiculous. But if you're a chill dude... That line will be fine. Yeah, you're trying to be
well,
fine.
Well, I guess, probably. Yeah. I mean, if it came out funny, I'd probably, like, laugh at the guy, you know? I probably would. Yeah, you're right. It is all about the delivery. I've been to art galleries and photograph galleries galore, and I've heard some interesting things. Some caught my attention, and some just, you know, was like,
what have
wow.
you heard? What's the most disgusting thing that you've ever heard?
The most disgusting? Oh my God.
I mean, that coming out of a guy's mouth, like, communicated to you.
The most... I don't know. I don't know. Nothing really has been that foul. actually.
Right, right. Okay.
I've been lucky.
Well, that's good. That's good. And I don't mean it in a joke. I mean, you could also, I mean, I'm sure you've heard shit as a joke, you know, but that's different. That's not really foul that way. Like,
yeah,
foul's
no.
Foul is like when the guy really means it.
Like, I don't even know. What would be foul? Like, what could a guy say that's foul? I mean, there's quite a bit, but I mean, like, come on.
Dude, you could think of some shit.
I wish I could. I'm, like, drawing so many blanks tonight.
Oh,
well,
you know, what's interesting is because I, you know, like, I was, me and my friend, this guy Dave B, who's, he actually put me in a film. He put me in a film in school. Like, there's a film of me, a black and white film of me in school, where I played a milkman that stole somebody's girlfriend.
The milkman. Oh, that's a...
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, Dave B and I, what were we talking about just now? I just like.
What is wrong with you?
No, because
you know, brain?
What, you know what happened? What's her name came into my voice. You know, they're like 1 minute remaining.
What's her name? We don't know her name.
The English chick. But what were we talking about? Because she interrupted me in like my train of thought.
Foul things.
Oh, right. And so, you know, he had just gone out on a date with like some new chick, you know, and he was like, you know, trying to get a girlfriend going on. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, the most dashing dude. He was a redhead guy. I was just brainstorming of like, what would be the absolute worst thing to say at the end of your first date to the girl, you know, like, you know, when it's like all over and everything's gone really well and like what you would say, you know? And, I came up with like, can I, have a cup of pussy juice, please?
Ew.
I know. Like, it's like it's the last thing. Like, okay, see you tomorrow. Like, and then you turn back around and you're like, hey, can you get a cup? But we would say it in like an English accent. So it would be like, excuse me, ma'am. Could I have a wee cup?
English? That's like Irish.
No, I don't know why we... For you, girl. Yeah, it was like, because we had this bottle of liquor that we used to take shots from, and it was like, a for you, girl. It said that on the actual... a for you, girl. You know, it was kind of like before you go. A for you, girl. Have a wee bit of this here whiskey, you know, and like, instead we were like, a for you, girl. A for you, girl. And it was, can I have a cup of pussy juice? And like, boom, that would kill everything, you know, all the momentum. You would never have a second date, right?
I mean, like, it's got to be, that's just outrageous. I mean, that's like,
that's what I'm saying. That's
just outrageous. If you were to like,
That's why it's, I mean, that's the whole point of it is like that's exactly the most outrageous thing you could possibly say. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Right.
Like, I was trying to come up with, like, the most ridiculous thing to say that would destroy the entire date and make it a bad date. Right?
That would just be, like, funny. Actually, maybe that wouldn't be funny. But, I mean, like, if it was something, like...
It wouldn't be funny. You'd be freaked out, dude. If a new dude...
If you were to say that to me, I'd just be like, what?
Well,
like,
now, I
what
mean,
a weirdo.
It's a joke.
No. Even if I didn't, like, know you like that, if it was, like, the first date, and you said that to me, like, while after you, like, you know, on my doorstep while you were dropping me home, I'd just be like, what? Why are
you
laughing?
You gotta admit, though, it's funny because... I mean, that's the reason why I thought of it, because it's just, like, the most awkward creating moment. Just
yeah,
like,
but I'm saying, but, like, I would just turn around and say, what? And, like, if you didn't repeat it, it would just be, like, whatever. Like, if you were to call me, I probably wouldn't even, like, bring it up.
If I followed up on it, like, hey, how's that cup coming?
No. Then, you know, I would just change my number. But, no, I mean, like, if we were to talk again normally, And, you know what I mean? Like, I'd probably just be like, okay, that was such a weird-ass comment. You know, I think I'd probably just, maybe I'd take it as a joke. But if you were to be like, would you know, like, if you were to, like, say something sexual and use that word, I can't even say the word. Then I think that would be the ultimate dislike.
If I said like something sexual
with that word, like I can't, I don't know, I can't say the word.
Oh, I see. Pussy juice.
Well, not necessarily juice, but
a cup.
But along those lines. Forget it. I can't, because I can't say it. I'm like trying to form the words,
you,
and I can't.
You mean cunt?
No, I can't say, like, the P word.
Oh, pussy.
I can't, yeah, do you say it with such ease?
Well, because, I mean, my mom used to call my cat a pussy cat. So, I mean, I didn't really think of it as, it is kind of.
Blame it on your childhood, why don't you?
No, really, I mean, my brother used to make fun of my mom, or he was making fun of her when he came back from Italy, because he was like, "Hit my big pussy."
Oh my God, your mother did not say that.
She did. She said that to her cat.
That would be so awkward. Wow.
She's like, my big pussy! So, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she was just,
how scarring.
But she didn't even, you know, she was talking about a cat.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. Like.
Yeah, my brother was, like, doing it. He was, like, doing a rendition of it, and she was, like, getting pissed.
I'm sorry, that's hilarious. Wow. Now you're scarred for life now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, you know what I want to do is I'm going to open up the chat session, so maybe if anybody's like listening, they can.
Isn't it late? Like, aren't you off there?
Oh, that's right, I'm off. Yeah, you're right, I might as well stay. I should have put it on when we were on the air. But anyway, shows you how good I am as a host. But anyway, let's go back to this list here. We're almost done here for tonight. Well, it's going to be a long way to get through these manuals. We're on manual 13, page 2. You know, good luck, you know. Okay, here we go. Okay. You should be lone women. Okay, your internal state when approaching women should be one of sexual enthusiasm, horniness, basically. This state stays off panic in a way that no other does. When you see a woman that strikes your fancy, imagine having sex with her, picture it, and try to feel the desire and lust. This sexual state plus the realization that she wants sex as much as you will be the two most important things to your success, so don't forget them.
That is disgusting.
That's hardcore, dude. It's just like, boom. You know, she's just as horny as you. Because guys don't realize that. They think like, oh, yeah, girls, like, they don't want sex. When a girl says she likes a confident man, it means she likes a guy. Like, when the girl says she likes confident men, it means she likes guys who remember the above passage, period. So, when a girl, you know, you understand. So basically, that is a guy who understands that he needs to be in a sexual state, and that the sexual state can be transmitted to the girl. The passage will teach you how to have one. This page will teach you to have one night stands. Knowing this skill is also, however, the best way to get into a long-term relationship. This is because unless the girl is a total slut, she will want to justify her participation in a one-night stand to herself with the thought that it was love at first sight.
That is so not true.
Believe me, she'll be happier if it is love at first sight than if it is a one-night stand, let's put it like that.
No.
Okay? What, dude? Are you trying to tell me that a girl wouldn't want to meet somebody that she loves at first sight?
I mean, first of all, I think that that is like the most unrealistic thing ever. There is no such
thing as love
at first sight. And if girls are as sexual as guys, or at least have a larger sex drive than guys, you know, assume that they have, then a one-night stand is a one-night stand. It's a fuck. I was horny. I wanted to fuck. Okay, now I'm moving on. Like, to think that girls are just like, oh, my God, I just had sex with this guy. He may be the one. That is the most, that's so not true. Not true at all. And I think that that's, like, skews guys into thinking that they could be assholes about the situation. Because, like, they're like, oh, well, she had sex with me. We had sex. Now she's, like, hooked. And that's so not the case.
Okay, like, so, but you notice I put a caveat in that statement. I was like, I said, the page will teach you how one night stands, knowing this is all, knowing this skill is also, however, the best way to get into a long-term relationship. This is because unless the girl is a total slut, she will justify her participation in a one-night stand herself.
That's
with the
not
thought,
necessarily true. She doesn't have to be a slut to just to like sex. I mean, I was horny. All of a sudden, I'm a slut because I'm not trying to seek a relationship.
If you have a one-night stand, like, and you're a
that's
girl,
that's fucked up. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. That's like sexist, and that's wrong. That's so wrong. Girls are just as horny as guys.
I agree that it's sexist. I mean, I'm just saying though that like, girls are sexist toward themselves. I mean,
they're not. That's like a lot
girls
of times
have, look,
they're not.
Girls wonder, and they think they wonder whether or not. Do you think guys wonder whether or not they're sluts? I mean, in the same way that
No, possibly not. No, don't get me wrong. Girls probably do wonder if they're sluts, but I think that sometimes that wondering comes more out of like the amount of partners that they've had, or you know, that kind of thing. Not, I had a one night stand. Oh my God, am I a slut? Like,
no, but I mean, don't you think though that like, if it is love at first sight, it kind of proves that you're not a slut. I mean, on some level, because it, you know, like, you're really are going after love, but you know, you'll take this. But if you find it, you know, this way, then that's good too. That's a good thing. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I'm just saying, like, it's a better scenario if you do end up with a guy who is that you do love at first sight than some guy you just want to fuck.
For anybody, it's nice to, like, have sex with a person and then end up in a relationship with that person. However, sometimes it's also nice just to fucking leave.
I understand, but, like, if the guy is cool, if the guy is cool and the guy is, like, hip and he's a nice guy, like, it's a good thing. And I'm just saying, like, this, what I'm trying to say is that this site, though it is, it will show you how to have one night stand. It doesn't preclude relationships. That's all. I'm trying to make with that. And so let's go a little bit further, but then we'll wrap it up here. Okay. Get out of the mentality of dates. Dates are for losers. The act of going out on a date will trigger all her hard-to-get conditioning. Just approach, isolate, and go for it.
No.
So basically, my idea here is that you see a girl, you bring her into an isolated situation, and you start making out with her. And it doesn't matter, you know, where you are. If the quicker, the better.
Oh, now who's? I mean, you just want her to be a slut. Is that what it is? Then
no. It's just breaking through that kind of. You should be hard charging. The girl is there to defend, and you're there on the offense. You know, so I'm just talking about like in you know a single guy who's trying to get a girlfriend. It's your.
Right, you're not going to get a girlfriend by throwing her against the wall and kissing her.
No, but I don't mean it's going that hard. I just mean, like, you go in one direction, and that's the direction you're going in, and you should go as quickly as you can when you see that there is an opening. But the point is that the girl's there to defend and say no to you and show you what you're doing wrong by rejecting you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the whole situation is. It's a school that you're going to every time you hang out with a chick. And, like, there's guys who never, you know, want to put themselves through that school. They don't want to get any kind of rejection. So what they do is they accumulate money, they accumulate fame, they accumulate whatever they think they need to make rejection completely impossible. So the girl will be like, well, he's got a nice car, he's rich, he's got a good job, he's got, you know, he's got all these things. He definitely is, you know, unrejectable, but yet he still gets rejected. So it's just funny that, like, he who wants to avoid rejection the most gets it the most, you know, and vice versa. So you should understand that every time you do get rejected, it's like just taking a class, you know, and there's an issue that you've figured out now, and that you basically can, you know, this girls don't like it when this, you know, and like after a while you get a lot of those, and then you start to see what they do like, and then kind of variate it, and you become, you know, it's just practice, man. Practice makes perfect. And the reason, let me just, like, you know, I mean, I just want to dispel people who are listening to this and thinking, oh, well, this guy's an asshole and he's just trying to, like, get people to pick up chicks and whatever. My feeling is that all this violence towards women, all these kinds of, like, things that happen that are just horrible, like people blowing away their wife and, you know, her lover and all this thing, is because they don't understand these principles. And to me, it's sad because they're so simple. It's like jiu-jitsu of principles. It's like, for example, there's a very simple one that's like, if you give a lot of compliments to your girlfriend, if you tell her every day that she's the most beautiful girl and that she's so beautiful, and then after a while, your compliments are become like currency, and they basically have no value. You know, like, they become overprinted currency. So the point where it's just like, yeah, I'm beautiful, thank you. Like, you just told me that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if I kept telling you, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, like, after a while, it would start to ring, like, you know, why are you, you know, sucking my dick over here, you know? Although you probably
right.
say that. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, it gets to be too much. And the reason why I put up this site, which is at nomoneyinvolved.com, and you can read all the stuff there. It's basically because I think that guys would function better and treat women better on the whole, and there wouldn't be this many, like, crazy violent outbursts that come from just people not understanding these basic principles. So here we go. Be careful never
to
verbalize.
That's great. I think we should just do one more, and, you know, I mean, we don't have to read the whole site today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just think that, like, that last comment that you made is, like, great way to, like, to end.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was just, like, it pretty much, like, linked to the point of the site, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, well, I think it's a good point to make, because people sort of, like, they think, oh, well, you're just an asshole trying to get girls, like, fucked. And what I'm trying to say is just that these are principles that if guys don't know them, they get so enraged about the fact that, you know, they don't have the woman they want. And I think that these principles can get you any woman that you want. I mean, anyone, including movie stars. But anyway. Be careful never to verbalize. If you have to go, that's fine, because I have a few more to do. But you can sign off, because I can just talk about them without you. You know what I'm saying?
Fine.
Hello.
Fine. Whatever.
Okay. So I mean, if you feel tired, it's fine. I you know, it's good to get a woman's perspective, but, you know, I'm not gonna, like, sit here and, like, force you. I know you. You're a hot girl. You got places to go, people to see, you know. And what is it?
Fuck you.
It's a Tuesday night. I mean, it's like 1:46 a.m. Like, I guess you got a big party. You got, like, a rave or something? You going to rave?
Sure.
Okay. I got the E. All right. We should, you know, we should go to that rave, dude. There's, like, a hot rave in Manhattan on 42nd Street and, what is it, 42nd and 9th Avenue or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hot rave. Hot rave on 42nd and 9th Ave. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start, like, talking about 42nd. Well, I shouldn't even You know, it's one of those things where it's a secret rave. Like, you can't find it. Like, it's not.
Shut up.
Like, you have to look for the lookout guy, and he's like this dude with like wearing like a neon headband, and like you ask, can you? And the password is, what's the password? Do you remember it?
No, it's a secret, asshole. You just said it's a secret rave. Why would
you
give away
secret rave,
password?
Dude. But if you say the right password to this guy, I think it's no money involved or something like that. But like, you see you say the secret password to him, and he'll give you like a hit of ecstasy and the doorway, and maybe even he'll give you a blowjob if you're gay. But anyway, let's be careful never to verbalize. So 42nd and 9th Avenue. There's a little corner there that you can like congregate on, and the guy with the neon headband will come and get you. Okay. Be careful never to verbalize your sexual desire, however. This kind of literal communication of your state will turn her off. So you see there's a distinction in getting into the sexual state and declaring it. Are you there?
Yes.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, so you hear what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
All right. So seduction cannot really occur unless you are close to her. You need to be within 6 to 8 inches from her. Slowly move in as you see her loosening up. Thus, good breath is of ultra importance. No reaction.
Sorry, I was doing something. I had to get my rabbits.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm keeping you up. Okay, we're gonna go for about 5 more minutes and then.
Whatever, it's your show.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, like you can always get off. But I feel bad like forcing you off the air out of sheer exhaustion. But
no, it's fine. How about you wrap up the end and I'm gonna go.
Okay.
All right, bye.
All right, have a good night.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay. Let's just finish up this last page here, and then we'll call it a night. Vanessa Lobo was great to hang out that long about it. Like, basically, like, you know, I with respect to her, like, I don't really follow the Whore Manual because I probably should because she's probably sick of it, you know, like, but. You know, you might say that I'm like such a whore that I don't even have to follow my own manual, but you can understand what I'm saying. It is called the Whore Manual, which I don't know how that name came about, but that was the original name of the site. It was whoremanual.com. Okay, so let's go down. You must touch her. Start with the hands and the arms and the lower back, the upper back. Face, hair, then thighs, hand placed but stationary. Don't look at your hands as you touch her. Okay, so whenever you do touch her, you don't look at your hands. Because then you're sort of telegraph what you're doing. The more women you approach, the more success you will have. So please, before you read on, pledge that you will approach at least one woman a week. If you can't make this pledge, then why read on? And really, there's really no reason for you to listen to this unless you are actually approaching at least one woman a week and getting at least some kind of feedback on how you're doing. And the only kind of feedback you're going to get is either rejected or not, you know. And each rejection will be of a specific kind that you'll be able to understand what you did wrong and do better the next day. After a while, it'll become like a sport. But you need to get it needs to become like a habit because otherwise you won't do it and you'll just spend all your days like wishing some fucking magical princess will come along, and it's just, it's useless. Okay, the tone of your voice is important. So practice speaking deep and resonantly. Speak slower with an inflection of optimism and kindness. So basically, you want to keep your, because a lot of guys, a lot of white guys, they speak through their nose, and in a way, like I feel like I still do it, and I try not to, but I don't know what happened with white guys or with the braces or I don't know, but like they talk through their nose. They're like, yeah, I don't know why that happens. I mean, I guess it happens to black guys too, but it's weird. Some guys will talk like a baby. They'll be like, you know, it's weird, and I don't understand. Like, do they not hear their own voice? You know, I don't get it. Anyway, so make sure your voice is as deep as it possibly can, and you know, try not to talk out of your nose. As I'm snorting here. Try to determine her state when you approach, and then try to match it. So if you break her state, for example, and you approach with too much enthusiasm when she is mad, calm, that'll make her view your approach as too intrusive. So, you know, one girl is like going, some girls are really chill, so if you come out there with a lot of energy, she's going to get freaked out. So you want to try to match the state she's in. So if she's in a super chill state, then you're in a super chill state. If she's like kind of like a happy-go-lucky state, then you want to be in a happy-go-lucky state. that's the best way to deal with that. And I think we have two more here, and then we're going to call it a night. Introduce yourself with your full name, first and last. Now, you don't have to give your real name, you know. But, you know, keep one name that is your name, you know, and don't variate it. I wouldn't try to have different names at different times, you know, just whatever, if you don't like your name, then change your name, you know, but, you know, that's your right. So, so what you do is you introduce yourself with your full name first and last, and when she tells you hers, say it a lot. Psychologists say hearing one's own name from someone else builds a connection. So what I'm saying there is that the more you say the girl's name, the more she will bond to you initially. And it'll help you so you don't forget it. I mean, because how many times have you like heard somebody's name for the first time? You have to ask it like four times because you just forget it. I say here, avoid talking about puke, shit, piss, ejaculation, death, your shitty job, her shitty job, illness, religion, politics, rape, child molestation, porn, or sex. Anything negative is off limits. Now, I kind of take issue with that. I feel like you could work those things into a conversation, but you'd have to do it very creatively. So, I mean, I just think it can be funny. So, I mean, I think in terms of the interest of humor, I think all those things are fine. But I don't know why I say anything negative is off limits. I almost think that unless you're talking about it as some kind of like in some kind of good humor, you know, then it's off limits. So you have to be in good spirits and be talking about it in going somewhere with it. Don't just be dwelling in shit or dwelling in piss or child molestation, you know, like or rape, you know. These are usually initial meetings. So, I mean, I guess you don't want to be talking about rape. But I might as well get it out in the open, you know. So, and finally, this is tests. Women love to test men. Tests are little hurdles. She'll put them in your way during the seduction. If you pass the tests, you kick her attraction level up a notch. If you fail, you derail the seduction. Here are a few examples and some good responses. Test. She's late or doesn't show up. The wrong thing to do in response to that is get pissed. The right thing to do in response to that is tell her she owes you something now, like a drink, so it's cool. Okay. Test. She gives you the runaround when you ask for her number. The wrong thing to do was be to try to convince her to give it to you. Okay. The right thing is say, yeah, well, good thinking. Truth be told, I've always wanted to write one of those for a good time call so-and-so messages on the men's room wall. Keep teasing her in this manner. Later, tell her you have to go to the men's room, wait a beat or two, and then, for it to sink in, and then ask, so what was your number again? So I guess you're trying to say that you're going to put her number. I don't know why I put that in there. I think I heard that. I think someone told me about that. So that's not actually my idea. But you know, it's something like that, where you're just, it's a comeback to her saying that I don't, you know, want to give you my number. That basically demonstrates that you don't give a shit, you know. And I think once you demonstrate that, that's the test, and you've passed it, and you'll get the number. Another test is she's resisting playing along with your playful banter and starts getting negative. The wrong thing to do is keep trying to entertain her. Okay. The right thing to do is give her your back and withdraw your attention from her. If you've planted the right seeds, you'll see her fight to get your attention back. So this is like when sometimes you'll meet a girl initially, and she'll start to like you, and then all of a sudden she'll just like start not liking you. And it's weird because things would be going well, but then somehow she'll try to convince herself that, you know, she doesn't like you. And she might even succeed in convincing herself that if you play into her scheme to do it. Because a big test is initially her acting negative to your playfulness. And then she wants to see how you will react to that, to her negative state. And so if you just keep trying to entertain her, you just become like a court jester, and it's ridiculous. So you want to be very focused and turn around, you know, just withdraw your attention, you know, so... Then all of a sudden she has to be the court jester for you. And you'll see. You'll start to fight to get your attention back. Okay, I think we can end it there and pick up the manual 13 next week. I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to thank Vanessa Lobo for lending her services out. I'll check in the mail, so I'll be sending it parcel post. I don't even know what that means, but you guys know what I mean. And I hope. See, this is. I just want to mention in closing. One of the reasons, another reason I did this site is for, you know, I believe that on some level, Middle Eastern culture is predicated on, in some respect, the fact that women are mysterious, and they don't know quite what to do with the woman in that culture. And so I find that on some level, like, the women there are oppressed and covered up and scared. People are scared of them. And I think that it's unfortunate, because I think there could be better relations between the sexes for Middle Eastern people too. I'm not singling them out. I think it's widespread, but I think that once people understand these principles, how they work, then, and how to come back from situations with women, I think one of the main principles that come out of Manual 1 is that you should be, whenever something is awkward or doesn't work out, like, the best thing to do is to get into another situation, just let it pass, and then act like nothing's wrong. And that's how you get over most problems in relationships with women, is to be okay with yourself, to be okay in your own skin. And so even though something might, some shit might go down, there might be some tension, you might have an argument, just let it go. You know, saying don't carry any of the burden, and they won't carry any of the burden. And that's a big principle of keeping shit flowing. And so even in the initial approach, if a girl starts, you know, just not really responding in a good way, you should back off, and usually that will, and then just approach her again, almost like forgetting that she even reacted that way, and not letting her know that it has affected you at all. So anyway, my name is Mike Trojan, and you can go to nomoneyinvolved.com if you want to get more information, and there's some other podcasts there. It's basically a podcast network, and this is, you know, this is basically dating advice. So, you know, anybody wants to call in who has any problem, who has any, you know, girl that they doesn't want to talk to them, or maybe it's an old girlfriend that has, you know, maybe you stalked to the point where they never want to see you again, you know, you can call me and I'll help you to come back from that. You know, I suggest that if you are in a situation like that, the first thing you should do is just start trying to hit on girls that you think are hot, or at least as hot as the girl that you were obsessed with. I think it happens sometimes. You become obsessed with one girl and you start stalking her, and then you become a loser. So let's not let that happen. Anyway, till next week, my name is Mike Trojan, and this is No Money Involved. Thank you.